Good evening. Let's open tonight's service with number 145 in the hardback hymnal. Number 145, let's all stand.
Hail, thou once despised Jesus, hail, thou Galilean King. Thou didst suffer to release us, thou didst free salvation bring. Hail, thou agonizing Savior, bearer of our sin and shame. By thy merits we find favor, life is given through thy name. Paschal Lamb by God appointed, all our sins on thee were laid. By almighty love anointed, thou hast full atonement made. All thy people are forgiven through the virtue of thy blood. Opened is the gate of heaven. Peace is made twixt man and God. Jesus, hail, enthroned in glory, there forever to abide. All the heavenly host adore thee, seated at thy Father's side. Therefore, sinners, thou art pleading, there thou dost our place prepare. Ever for us interceding, till in glory we appear. Worship, honor, power, and blessing, thou art worthy to receive. Loudest praises without ceasing, meet it is for us to give. Help ye bright angelic spirits, bring your sweetest, noblest lays. Help to sing our Savior's merits. Help to chant Emmanuel's praise.
Please be seated.
Good evening. Let's open our Bibles together to Psalm 58. Psalm 58. The Lord has told us to love our enemies. And yet oftentimes we find in the scriptures David rejoicing over the destruction of his enemies. And we know that without the judgment of the reprobate, there can be no salvation of the elect. And we know that in the book of Revelation, all the saints of God join in praising God with hallelujahs over the destruction of the reprobate in the end. But I think I've seen something today that might be an encouragement to you. It certainly has been to me. How do we reconcile loving our enemies to rejoicing over the destruction of the wicked? And I, reading Psalm 58, came to see that the destruction of the wicked is what happened at Calvary's cross and in my new birth when the old man was put to death. And that I can rejoice in. That I can rejoice in. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And then the scripture says, we die daily. So the old man was the only life we had prior to our new birth. But now the old man is likened unto a dead corpse that we're carrying on our back. And we rejoice that he's dead. We rejoice that he has suffered the judgment and wrath of God at Calvary's cross. And that's Psalm 58. That's how it starts out. Look, do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge unrightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart you work wickedness. You weigh the violence of the hands of the earth, in the earth, of your hands in the earth, I'm sorry. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. You see, we were at enmity with God. That's how we came into the world. We came forth from the womb speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth his ears, which will not hearken to the voice of the charmer, though the charmer be so never so wisely. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Kill my old man. Quiet him. Shut him up. Let them melt away as the waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be cut in pieces. Oh, the arrows that the old man can shoot from his mouth. And Lord, don't let him do it. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Lord, when my old man rears its ugly head, let him be like a stillborn child. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away, as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance, and he shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. The new man rejoices in the destruction of the old man, doesn't he? So that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you judged sin at Calvary's cross. We're thankful for the experience of having that old man put to death in the new birth and being given a new heart in Christ Jesus. Lord, we would just be thankful that you are a God of justice and a God of judgment. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to work in our hearts daily, causing us to die, enabling us to take up our cross, causing us to see that we are crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live. Lord, we pray for the power of your Spirit to make your word effectual to our hearts tonight. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Number 39 in the Spiral Gospel Hymns hymn book. Number 39. And let's stand together again.
Wretched, lost, condemned, and dying, guilty I deserve God's wrath. Long I fought against my master. Hell-bent I was courting death. But the blood of Christ had bought me. He refused to let me die. This poor sinner loved by Jesus must be conquered by and by. At the time which was predestined, in the covenant of God's grace, God in mercy sent his Spirit. Blessed time of love and grace, to reveal his Son's great merit as the sinner's substitute. I saw Jesus bleeding, dying, suffering as my substitute. Precious blood for sin's atonement, justice could not ask for more. I heard Christ cry, "It is finished," and I could resist no more. Thanks to God for intervening, grace that broke my stubborn will, grace that would not let me perish, grace that rescued me from hell. Sovereign grace, I will proclaim it, irresistible and free. Grace that chose me and redeemed me, God by grace alone saved me. Sinner, now you've heard my story, now I bid you trust my God. Christ, my all-sufficient Savior, saves poor sinners by his blood.
Please be seated.
Will you open your Bibles with me to Psalm 57? There is a theme repeated over and over and over and over in the scriptures. We just sang of it. It is finished. It is finished. It's what we see in the whole truth of Christ being our surety. A surety is one who did everything necessary to pay the debt of the one whom he represents. In Psalm 57, we have this statement in verse 2, "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." When Joseph was in prison in Egypt, the scripture says that whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Here's our message tonight. God performeth all things for me. In election, he performeth all things for me. In redemption, he performeth all things for me. In the new birth, he performeth all things for me. In sanctification, he performeth all things for me. In glorification, he performeth all things for me. He's the performer, and he gets all the glory. Amen. Now this text, this psalm begins by telling us that David wrote this psalm when he was in the cave of Adullam. Now, the cave of Adullam was where David fled from Saul after he left Gath. You remember he changed his behavior before the king of Gath, Achish, and the king of Gath let him go, and he fled to a cave. And he found safety from his pursuers in a cave. And I thought, you know, that's a theme that I've never really thought about, but it's mentioned often in the scriptures. The first mention of a cave in the Word of God is where Lot went with his daughters to flee from the destruction of Sodom. He went to a cave. The scripture says that the patriarchs, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Leah, are all buried in a cave at Machpelah, waiting for their resurrection, put in a cave. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, and the scripture says that God put him in the cleft of the rock, that was a cave. He put him inside of a rock where he could be safe, because the Lord said, no man can see my face and live, but I'll hide you in a rock. That's another cave, isn't it? When Jezebel was on her rampage to kill all the prophets of God, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them in a cave and fed them with bread and water and protected them from Jezebel. When Elijah went back to Mount Horeb, remember when the first thing God asked him, he said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And the only reason Elijah survived that mountain is because he was in a cave, just like Moses was in a cave. And he looked out of the cave, and that's when the Lord shook the rocks and sent the fire and sent the wind, and then the still small voice spoke to Elijah while he was in a cave. Joshua, when he came to conquer the promised land, took 10 kings, 10 pagan kings, and put them in a cave and instructed his men, cover up the cave with a rock. And they were held safely in that cave until the battle was over, and then Joshua came back and brought them out of the cave and put them to death. But they were held in a cave for safety. Can we not see that all these caves represent for us that cave that the Lord Jesus Christ was put into? It's what it was. It was a cave. They rolled a rock. And our safety is through his death and through his work. And much of what we read in Psalm 57 is understood as the Lord Jesus Christ crying out to his Father from that cave. David was in a cave when he wrote this psalm. And he was seeking safety and he was seeking deliverance. And the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, the mystery of what happened during those 3 days. The mystery of God being put to death is beyond our comprehension. How could life itself, the eternal creator and sustainer of all of life, be put to death? And yet he was. And scripture says that he did something during those 3 days. I don't know. But I understand this psalm as part of what was going on between him and the Father, praying to the Father to deliver him. Be merciful unto me, O God. What I'm saying to you tonight, brothers and sisters, is flee to Christ. When the enemy pursues you, when death and conflict, flee to Christ. There's safety in the cave. There's safety there. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. David had no place else to go but to hide in the cave of Adullam until the calamities were past. He was going to wait and see how it would be that God would deliver him. And so he's waiting on the Lord to give him deliverance while he's in this cave. And here's the glorious truth. Our Lord Jesus Christ had perfect faith, and he fled to his Father in his time of calamity. And the Father delivered him from that cave, didn't he? He would not allow him to remain in that cave. He brought him forth out of that cave. Lazarus, the scripture says in John chapter 11, was in a cave. He was in a cave. When the Lord came back to Mary and Martha's and found out, and they told him that Lazarus had died, and the Lord said, "Where is he?" And he went to the graveside, and the scripture says that Lazarus was in a cave. And the Lord told him, "Take away the stone." "But Lord, he stinketh." "No, take away the stone. Lazarus, come forth." Now, it was probably a cemetery, and had the Lord not spoken Lazarus' name, maybe everybody in that cemetery would have come forth. I don't know, but the Lord spoke effectually and particularly to Lazarus, and Lazarus was brought forth out of the cave. Picture of the resurrection of Christ and a picture of the deliverance of God's people through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was put in a cave. I will cry, verse 2, I will cry unto God, Most High, unto God that performeth. He performeth all things for me. Speaking of Cyrus, who was a type of Christ, in Isaiah chapter 44, the Lord says, "He is my shepherd, and he will perform all my pleasure." He's going to perform all my pleasure. And our Lord Jesus Christ, going into this cave, found safety from his pursuers, and he performed all the pleasure of the Father. Performed everything. In Isaiah chapter 9, when we're given our Lord's name, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. So the judgment of God for sin fell on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he performed everything for his people. When he suffered the full wrath of God, became our propitiation, putting away the fiery wrath of God's judgment once and for all. Justice was met. God's righteousness was established. One had been obedient even unto death by going into that cave. And that verse goes on to say, "From henceforth, even forevermore, for the zeal of the Lord of hosts hath performed this." He hath. That's done. There's no question about it. He hath performed this. It is finished. Our God has performed all things for his people. Paul, speaking of his faith, said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." I'm confident that he's going to perform everything he set out to do. There's our hope. Our hope is that the Lord Jesus Christ did perform everything that he set out to do, and he's going to finish in our lives what he started. Paul says in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham was fully persuaded that he which had promised would perform it. He which had promised, he was also able to perform. Everything that God promises, he performs. And he performs it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have our Lord crying out to his Father from that cave, saying, "My God will perform everything for me." Turn with me to the book of Micah. Micah. Just a few, well, right before Nahum. The last chapter of Micah, Micah chapter 7. We sing this hymn, "Who is a God like unto thee?" And that's in Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage?" Lord, you've passed over. What was the only way the Lord was going to pass over the Israelites in Egypt is that he saw the blood. He saw the blood. So Micah, the last chapter, verse 18, "Who is a God? There is no God like unto thee. You're holy. You're different from all other gods and from all men. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." The anger of God was quenched. The fire of God's wrath was put out by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he delights in showing mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. Now that's the Lord subduing our iniquities. You know what our iniquities are. That's the stuff we're proud of. That's the stuff that we're tempted to look to as either the cause or the evidence of our salvation. And every time the Lord, by his Spirit, puts the old man to death, he subdues our iniquities. We're tempted to look at our iniquities for our comfort and for our hope, aren't we? And what a blessing it is when God kills that old man and subdues our iniquities again and again and again and again. Lord, keep doing it. Don't let me find peace or comfort anywhere outside of Christ. "And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Can't be found there. We know more about the surface of the moon than we do about the depths of the sea. Oh, it's a mystery down there. Is all the advances we have, we just know very, very little about the depths of the sea. And God said, "That's where I'm going to put your sins. They're going to be gone. They're going to be gone." Look at verse 20. "Thou wilt perform the truth of Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old." And so the Lord Jesus Christ cries, "God that performeth all things for me." What did he do? He performed his oath. He performed his covenant promises. Those promises that God made with God in the covenant of grace before we were ever even brought about, before Adam was ever made. The Lord Jesus Christ performed them. He performed them. That's the covenant that's ordered in all things and sure. Why are they sure and why are they ordered? Because the Lord Jesus Christ performed them. He performed the shedding of his blood, the laying down his life in order to put away the wrath of God's judgment and in order to satisfy divine justice. He performed all righteousness through his obedience. He's the end of the law. He performeth all things for me. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 33. I think we mentioned this verse Sunday, but there's a few other verses here I want us to look at. Jeremiah chapter 33, and we'll begin at verse 14. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord." Now, when faith just knows that when God says something, it's going to be performed. All of his promises are going to be performed. He performeth all things for me. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. He's going to execute it. He's going to perform it. Our God performeth all things for us. He hasn't left any part of our salvation up to us. He's done it all. And that's his promise here through Jeremiah. The day is coming when the root of Jesse, that little stem, is going to grow up out of that root. And he's going to be called the branch. And in those days shall Judah be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ actually accomplished the salvation of his people when he bowed his mighty head on Calvary's cross and said, "It is finished." He did not make an offer of salvation. He performed salvation. He did it. Jerusalem shall dwell safely. Where are we going to find safety? In that cave. In that cave. That's where David was. Waiting on God in a cave. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ was. Waiting on the Father in the cave. Jerusalem shall dwell safely. The gospel is such a glorious message of hope because the believer knows that if any part of it was left up to him, he wouldn't be safe. He wouldn't be safe. I'm safe in knowing that God's not looking to me for anything. He's looking to Christ for everything. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. What have I committed unto him? The hope of my salvation. The performance of that which God requires in order for me to be saved. That's what we've committed unto him, isn't it? Judah shall be saved, Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Now that's quite a performance, isn't it? When God gives us his name, and he sees no difference between his bride and his son. The son and his bride are one. One. That's performing something. Union with Christ, being one with him. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, neither shall the priest, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifices continually. There's going to be a king. He's going to reign, and that king is also going to be our priest. And that priest is going to intercede. And the throne of David will never be in want of a king. And the descendants of the Levites will never be in want of a priest. And you and I are not in want of a priest, and we're not in want of a king, because God provided everything for him. And he provided everything for us. Genesis chapter 26, verse 3. God, speaking to Isaac, says, "Unto thee and unto thy seed, I will do all these, I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath that I swore to your father." I will perform it. Lord, have you done it yet? Yep, it's already performed. It's already performed. It's done. It's finished. Our God performeth all things for his people. You remember when Ruth goes to the threshing floor? She's sent there by Naomi in hopes that Boaz would recognize her and agree to become her kinsman redeemer. And she uncovers his feet and lies at his feet, and he wakes up and says to her, there is a kinsman nearer to you than me. And if he is able to perform his duty, then he's obligated. But if he's not, I will be your kinsman. And Boaz goes that very next day. Remember, Naomi said, just sit still. The man's not going to rest until he finishes the work today. And Boaz goes and reckons with that near kinsman, who is a picture of the law. And he says to the near kinsman, he says, you know, Naomi's come back from Moab, and she's your kin, and you are obligated by the law to redeem her. And he said, well, I'll redeem her. Of course I will. That's my duty. I'll do it. And Boaz says, in the day in which you redeem Naomi, you must also redeem Ruth the Moabitess. And what did that near kinsman say? He said, oh no, I can't do that. I'll mar my inheritance. I can't bring a Moabitess into my family. It'll mess everything up. It'll destroy the inheritance of my children and my children's children and for generations to come. And that very Moabitess is in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the law couldn't redeem. And the law can't redeem me, and it couldn't redeem Ruth. Only our Boaz can do that, our kinsman redeemer. And he settled up with the law, didn't he? He brought that law before the elders of the gate of the city, took off their shoes, which was a symbol of we're in agreement. And then he went and redeemed Ruth. But he said, if that kinsman can perform his duty, then let it be. But if he doesn't perform, I'll do it. Turn to me to 1 Kings chapter 6. Verse 11. And the word of the Lord came to Solomon, the son of David. David was a warrior. And the scripture makes it clear that because of David's shedding of blood, that he was not allowed to build the temple. But he did accumulate all the materials for the building of the temple. Now, those of you that have done some construction work know how many times you got to go to the store to get stuff when you're trying to build something, and you never can anticipate. Solomon didn't have to go anywhere. Everything necessary for the building of the temple David had provided. That temple is a picture of the church. Solomon's a picture of the Spirit of God in that regard, and David's a picture of Christ. And David performed everything necessary, and then he sent his Spirit after his ascension and the building of the church. Everything upon this rock, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is being built. And here the Lord says to Solomon, look what he says. Concerning this house, verse 12, which thou art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments. Now God didn't say to Solomon, if you'll do your best and keep the big commandments. You know, don't murder anybody. And you know, don't. He didn't say that. God says to Solomon, if you will keep all my commandments and all my statutes and walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father, and I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built the house and finished it. Now you think Solomon kept every jot and tittle of God's law, all of his commandments and his statutes? He did. Same way you keep them. Same way I keep them. Solomon was a believer. Solomon died in shame. I can't understand the way Solomon died. I mean, he died in shame. But he was a believer. That's such an encouragement to me. The Lord had performed everything for him. His father had provided all the materials for the building of the temple. And in Christ, he had kept all the commandments. And so the temple was built and Solomon finished it. He finished it. So how am I going to keep the commandments of God? Well, Paul says in Romans chapter 7, the law is holy. It's just. It's good. But I'm carnal. Sold under sin. To will is present. When I would do good, evil is ever present with me. And when I would do, you know, I can't do what I would. He went on to say, to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I can't keep the commandments of God. I can't keep the law of God. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Thanks be to God, through Christ Jesus, I am free. He kept it for me. He performed everything for me. So that now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And he that laid the foundation is going to hang the gates. And everything for the building of the temple, he's going to perform. Our God performeth all things for us. You say, well, what about our sanctification? Well, he that sanctifieth and they which are sanctified are all as one. Wherefore, he's not ashamed to call them his brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ is our performer when it comes to their sanctification. And he works in us, causing us to will and to do of his good pleasure. We delight in the law of God, but we don't look to our keeping of God's law for the hope of our salvation in any way. We can't keep it. But he did. He performed it. He performed it perfectly. Let me show you one more passage of scripture. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. As you can see in preparation for this message, I mean, there's a whole lot more verses, but I just looked up a few verses where the scripture speaks of the Lord performing something for his people. And look in Jeremiah chapter 29. At verse 10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon. Now you know that 70 is the life of man, and Babylon is this world in which we live. And God's accomplishing his purpose by our lives in Babylon. And God says, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. That's God's promise, Rachel. He's gonna visit us at the end of this life, and he's gonna take us back to the place we've always been. The place where we've always been. We've always been there. Always been in Christ. I'm going to perform it. Everything that you need in your regeneration, I'm going to perform it. If God doesn't bring his people kicking and screaming to Christ, he makes them willing. He performs a work of grace in their hearts and causes them to desire Christ. That's the performance of regeneration. That's the miracle of the new birth. Peace with God, I'm going to perform it. And the peace of God, I'm going to perform that too. I'm going to perform everything. And you're going to be brought to your knees in worship for what I have performed. Go back with me to Psalm 57. I will cry unto God Most High. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ in the tomb, in the cave. Unto God that performeth all things for me, he shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. And just as God kept his promise to his son in performing his resurrection, the firstborn among many brethren, so it is that everyone that Christ died for is going to be brought forth out of the grave and be brought to the place where he is. That's his performance. That's his promise. My soul is among lions. Who's the lion? Well, that's Satan, isn't it? He's the roaring lion that seeketh whom he may devour. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that causes us to doubt and fear and question whether or not this is really going to happen. That's what he's been doing from the beginning. From the very beginning, he's accusing God of not being faithful to his word. Not being honest, not giving you enough information. That's what he accuses God of. And I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongues a sharp sword. Don't say to your children, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me. Words are the most harmful things that there are in this life. Beat me, but don't slander me. Don't speak evil to me or against me. Words are hard, aren't they? And you know, you can heal from a physical wound, but the words, they linger for a long, long time. And that's what David's saying. He said, I live among men that are saying all these contrary things to me. Everything they say to me is contrary to what you've said. And I can't help but to hear them. What am I going to believe? Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit. There's the cave. They've digged a pit before me. Into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. They fell into the pit, the miry clay. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Why? Because thou hast performed all things for me. The Lord suffered the accusations of men, and he trusted God. And he's saying to his children, I understand. I suffered. I was tempted in all ways that you are. More than you've ever known. And I was without sin. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Trust Christ. Trust me. I have fixed my heart on God, and God has delivered me. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. Lord, put joy in my heart. The bones that thou hast broken, Lord, cause them to rejoice. Give me reason to praise you in spite of my circumstances, in spite of the accusations. You know, our first desire is take it away, take it away. You know what I've experienced? You have too. Lord oftentimes doesn't take things away until he first enables us to rest in them. That's why they're there. I mean, it's easy to say, well, I'm resting in Christ, I'm rejoicing in the Lord, and psalm and psaltery, and I've got great happiness and great peace when things are going well. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth, for thou hast performed all things for me. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that your Spirit now would speak to our hearts, comfort us in Christ, and enable us, Lord, to flee to that cave and find our safety. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 127. Let's stand together.
Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die, it is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior.